Brandon, I call them the Senate Community and Regional Affairs to order for the record. It's 3:34 p.m. Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. We're in the Belts Room of the Thomas Stewart's Building. Senator Hoffman, Senator Machicki, Vice Chair, myself, and Senator Schauer and Senator Gray Jackson are away on other state business and should be here in a bit. Christopher Dickrell on the Senate Records, Brett Mello, and Mr. Grusendorf are here today. Public testimony on Senate Bill 194, Advanced Nuclear Reactors. We'll be taking testimony on Senate Bill 218, Road Service Area, Senator Coghill's bill. We're going to start with Senate Bill 194, Nuclear Reactors, the second hearing of this bill today. We have it noticed for public testimony. The committee does have a CS to consider. And Vice Chair Machicki, may I have a motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the CS for Senate Bill 194-31-LS-0878-M before the committee as a working document.
And I'll object for the explanation of changes. Mr. Grusendorf, put yourself on the record and make those explanations, please.
For the record, Cody Grusendorf, staff to Senator Bishop and the CRA committee. I will go through an explanation of changes from version A to version M. The main change is on page 1, lines 10 through 13. We add a 300 megawatt ceiling to the amount of power that can be generated by an advanced nuclear reactor that would be exempt from the requirements in section B, which is the designated land by the legislature. On page 2, line 2, we remove language referring to the most recent generation of reactors, and we insert a date, January 1st, 2020. And that same change is made on page 2, line 19. That is it for the changes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, questions for Mr. Grusendorf on the explanation of changes? Senator Machicki.
Yeah, my questions for Mr. Grusendorf for you, Mr. Chairman. What was the reason for the 300? What does that, what is the significance of the 300 megawatt mark?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, 300 megawatts is the standard definition from the Department of Energy on what a small modular reactor would be. So this kind of just encompasses that for allowing. The intent of the bill is for small reactors, not a gigawatt reactor, to come in and be exempt from the land designation.
And, Mr. Chairman,
follow up.
On the 300 megawatts, is that something that's currently being designed? Is that going to, by defining it with that definition now, do you know that that's a definition they're going to stick by when, what if in the development process they find that's not an optimum size and they end up being somewhat larger?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, I don't know in the future if that will hold true, the 300 megawatt, but currently the designs and the definitions for the Department of Energy are small modular reactors are below 300 megawatts.
And Mr. Chairman, we could always change that number if there's a reason to. Right, thanks for explaining that to me. I did not catch that in the definition.
Thank you. Okay. We're going to go open public testimony now, and we're going to go to Mr. Rowe, Research Professor, UAF. Mr. Rowe?
Thank you very much. For the record, this is George Rowe, ROE, with the University of Alaska Fairbanks, research professor affiliated with Alaska Center for Energy and Power. The definition that Mr. Grusendorf provided of the magnitude of the reactors is very consistent with the Department of Energy in our experience. In addition, our analysis to date has indicated that reactors of that scale or smaller might be best matched to the applications we're seeing across both private, federal, and community applications in the state for combinations of heat and power. In 2010, the University of Alaska, with funding from the state of Alaska, completed a study looking at the, as of then, small modular reactor capabilities and their application in the state, identified issues that could be warrant investigation in the future. And at this time, we believe that there may be it may be appropriate to update that study, perhaps refining and enhancing the roadmap associated with it, and updating the assessment of the current technology, as well as the evolution of the energy systems in the state of Alaska.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Rowe? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that at our last meeting and this one, the need to update the study has been mentioned, and I would suggest that the committee send a letter to that effect to the capital budget chairman for consideration, since it is something that I think is in need of being updated, and I think it would fit hand in glove with what Senator Murkowski is doing on the national level.
Thank you for those comments, Senator Hoffman, and let the record reflect too that Senator Gray Jackson has been with us almost from the start of the committee. She was hustling right down here from another committee, I think, where she was presenting a bill. Here. All right. Senator Machicki.
I just have a brief one on the 300 megawatt sort of definition. It seems like the capacity or the generating potential that we'd be looking at for many Alaska communities would be much smaller. Is there a smaller break below 300 that would have a different definition in the future?
Is that a question to me?
That is a question to you, Mr. Rowe.
Yes. So I agree that most applications in Alaska would require a smaller reactor. However, to keep the bill from needing to be revised continually, that's a very useful demarcation. In many situations, a reactor more on the order of between 3 and 10 megawatts would be appropriate for the rail belt and defense applications. Obviously, larger ones could serve in the rail belt. The challenge is when you go with a larger reactor, this can introduce the requirement for doing in-field replacement of fuel. And if you go with a smaller reactor, more in what are called actually micro reactors, which are typically in approximately 1 megawatt lower threshold up to about 10 megawatts with electric, those are typically sent to the field, or the plan is to send those as a containerized from the factory complete system, and then returned to a fuel processing site outside of the state in that same container, so the fuel is not removed from the container, from the reactor in the state. And so for the purpose of the legislation, the 300 megawatt electric, I believe, is a useful demarcation. I think the studies that would come out of an updated analysis would identify where the best alignment in terms of capacity might be for what the sequence of applications might be to build confidence and experience as we move toward possible community applications of the reactors.
Thank you for that explanation. Senator Machicki, any further questions, sir?
No, the only thing that was not clear to me, and I'm sorry if we covered it in earlier meetings, was whether or not we have the authority to go up to 300 megawatts as far as FERC is concerned. Is this bill, I mean, we're allowed to issue a permit
for siting.
Is there still a FERC requirement for any size nuclear reactor?
This is George Rowe. I am not familiar with that. If that is something you'd like us to research, we're certainly willing to do so.
And this bill's going to travel to the mm-hmm. vice chair, so he'll be the chair in the next committee, and I believe we can have that answer found by then.
Thank you.
Seeing no further questions, I'm going to remove my objection. Seeing no further public testimony, we're going to close public testimony. And Senator Machicki, could I entertain a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move CS for Senate Bill 194-31-LS0878M from committee with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal note.
Seeing no objections, we'll take a brief of these while we're signing the bill. Thank you for the motions, Mr. Machicki. Okay, we're back on the record. Next, we're going to have Senate Bill 218, Road Surface Areas. This will be the first of the hearing in this committee on that bill. We have public testimony notice for today. Reneva Moss and Amy Bushnell are here to present the bill. So, ladies, please come forward and tell us what you got.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Reneva Moss, staff to Senator Coghill. First, apologize that Senator Coghill isn't here in person, but he's in another committee. And Amy Bushnell is carrying the bill. This bill was introduced by request of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. And it's trying to solve an issue with road service areas that need help through consolidation and figuring out a timely way for the Borough Assembly to consolidate service areas that are having financial problems. So I'll let Amy explain the bill.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Amy Bushnell, staff to Senator Coghill. So Senate Bill 218, it provides second-class boroughs with the ability to consolidate two or more road service areas, or RSAs, if the boards representing those RSAs request consolidation and no new parcels are added to a single new service area. A service area is a taxing jurisdiction established at the request of the voters within a geological area to provide certain services within their specific area. Voters establish their boundaries and the maximum mill levy imposed on real property for the purpose of road maintenance services. A board then determines the level of road maintenance services and directs contractors to perform these services. Members of the board are appointed by Borough Assembly. So beginning in 1972 and in the years that followed, RSAs benefited from state shared revenues for local road construction improvements. State shared revenue reductions through the 1990s prompted RSAs to hold elections to establish tax revenue caps to supplement the reduced state funding for local roads. Existing RSAs also resisted annexations of new parcels and roads to their service areas, leading to the formation of new RSAs. Of the five second-class boroughs in the state of Alaska that have RSAs, Fairbanks, Matsu, Kenai, Kodiak, and Ketchikan, Fairbanks North Star Borough has by far the most RSAs with 103. While greater efficiencies and lower costs in maintaining local roads could be achieved through consolidating some RSAs, borough assemblies do not have the power to adjust service area boundaries without voter approval. Separate elections are required for each of the RSAs subject to consolidation, and these elections typically fail to turn out voters. Such consolidation would lead to greater efficiency and reduced costs through economies of scale and less contract administration by borough administrators.
Okay. Questions from committee members? We're going to go to invited testimony now. We're going to go to Fairbanks, North Star Borough. Michael?
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Michael Bradley. I'm the Rural Services Manager for the Fairbanks North Star Borough. My division administers and helps manage the road service areas throughout our borough, and of course I'm here to speak in favor of Senate Bill 218. Some of what I have to say will be a repeat of the report that were just given to you. But as a second-class borough, we receive our road construction and maintenance powers through service areas. Currently, we have 103 separate road service areas that maintain a total of 497 miles of road. The following is just a brief history of our service area formations. So the borough's first road service area was established in 1965. The second road service area was established in 1969. And then between 1973 and 1979, we had 20 new service areas that were established. And then in the 1980s, 67 service areas were established, with all but two being established between 1981 and 1986. In the 1990s, 13 service areas were established, with the final service area being established in 2002. Some of our records that were found indicate that state shared revenue for local roads started around 1972 for road construction and improvements. And then sometime in the mid to late 1970s, the service areas were receiving about $2,500 per mile for operations and maintenance. This became the majority, if not the entire, revenue received by the service areas. By the early 1990s, that number of state shared revenue was reduced to about $1,400 per mile and continued to decline until its end in about 2004. The reduction in the state shared revenue then prompted a number of service areas to hold elections to establish a tax revenue cap to supplement and ultimately replace the now non-existent state shared revenue funds. From 1991 to 1997, there were 74 road service areas that elected to have tax revenue caps. So based off the information that was found, my assumption is the existing road service area commissions, you know what, I think you've heard some of that already. So, service area consolidation under current law is a substantial process. You know, at present, elections are required for consolidation of two or more service areas if the voters reside in the existing service areas. Our process includes, under current law, holding open house for the service area residents so they can ask questions, provide comments. We would require an approval of an election ordinance from the borough assembly, and then, of course, a separate election is required for each service area wanting to consolidate, where registered voters who reside within that service area can cast their vote. Holding an election for each service area that's needed to be consolidated would be difficult at best. The amount of labor hours and costs associated with these elections would be substantial. At this time, we have about 13 contractors that hold contracts to perform maintenance to our 103 road service areas. Some only maintain one service area, while others will maintain 10 to 20 service areas. With consolidation of service areas, it would provide greater efficiencies, potentially better prices for the contractors, and in turn, less contract administration for them as well. For the staff in my division, consolidation of service areas would mean a reduction in contract administration and an increase in on-site presence looking at road conditions in the road service areas. In regards to service area commissions, consolidation would mean a reduction in available seats. Currently, we have 273 commissioners out of an available 426 seats, which is a 36% vacancy rate. That concludes my testimony. I want to thank you for providing me the opportunity to speak in favor of this bill. If this bill passes, it would greatly assist our borough in service area consolidation. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Could you repeat the, you got 237 commissioners out of a possible how many?
We have 273 commissioners out of a possible 426 currently.
And a 36% vacancy factor, did you say that?
Yeah, so that means, 36% of the seats are vacant.
I got a former mayor here I think might want to ask a question. Did you have a question, Senator Majewski? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, questions from committee members? I fully get the intent of the bill, especially from a contracting standpoint. If you had a contractor with adjoining service areas, but one, and two different contractors, if you were able to join the service area, your contractor would only have to, he could mob up. It costs the same amount of money to mob for that job as it would to mob for two jobs if they were enjoined side by side. And so there is a savings. I could see where there'd be quite a bit of savings there just on the mob-demob cost. So any other questions from committee members? Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your testimony. You still have to fill those vacancies, though, correct?
Well, so most of our commissions are three-member commission plus one alternate. All of our service areas have at least one commissioner, with most having two and a handful having a full commission. So we currently have enough commissioners to run the service areas, but it is a big ask for some of our smaller service areas that might only have 10 properties within the whole service area to have three people volunteer.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I think it's a good bill, but I just needed to ask that question based on where I'm from, Anchorage, and we have limited road service areas. So thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Senator Majewski.
Thank you. So theoretically, you have Community 1 that has an RSA and Community 2 that's likely adjoining, or may not necessarily be adjoining. But you have these two service areas that have three board members and an alternate apiece. Is it your vision that they would all, once combined, they would continue to be a four-person board?
Well, the number of commissioners might depend on the size of the total service area. So if it gets too large, maybe it's a five-person commission. But if we are able to consolidate, 10 service areas that might be relatively small that are close to each other, you might end up with a five-person commission, but you otherwise would have had a 30-member commission with 10 alternates.
Okay.
Senator Majewski, follow-up?
Actually, a better question might be for the sponsors of the bill or the staff of the sponsor carrying the bill. Are they required to be abutting service areas, or is that not necessarily the case?
The chair, Senator Majewski, the way this is written, they wouldn't have to be contiguous.
Mm-hmm.
They could be in the same area. Just for clarification, I've been involved with our local road commission for 30 years. So right across Dennis Road is another service area, and we have two different contractors that travel clear across town to get there. That's one way to save money. No, it doesn't have to be connected. It just has to be in close proximity. And we wrote this bill the way it is because we also want to protect service areas that function very well. Our service area has expanded two times in the last 10 years. We've doubled the mileage in our service area. We've managed to save over $100,000 so that we can use it for a federal match to get our roads resurfaced. So we don't want to disturb service areas that are doing their job.
All right, seeing no further questions, before we go to our next testifier, Senator Schauer has been with us for some time. Welcome, Senator Schauer. Marna Sanford, North Star Borough Assembly, Fairbanks, you're up.
Yes, hello. Thank you, Chairman Bishop and members of the committee. My name is Marna Sanford. I'm on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly and the current chair of the Assembly Road Service Area Commission with members from, I think, seven of the road service areas in town. And very much in support of the bill. One of the things that Mr. Bradley did not mention was that part of the reason why we're seeking guidance in the form of legislation is that because of extremely low voter turnout, if you have two boards currently that have agreed that it would be best to combine, we have so few people who are voting on in these elections that literally one family could potentially upset the consolidation of two road service areas for the betterment of a larger area. And I could speak to voter turnout, but essentially this gives the boards the opportunity, the people who are working on the ground, the ability to make these decisions and bring something forward to the assembly. So I think this is a really great step in the right direction. I think obviously this is a Fairbanks issue, and right now the our commission, the Road Service Commission, is aware of the bill and is interested upon passage of the legislation in working to to identify the best cases for consolidation and help streamline the administration and reduce costs for all the road service areas, which we think this is again the right first step. So thanks very much.
Marna, do you have off the top of your head what it costs to run an election?
Oh, my gosh. We just saw this in our budgeting, and I want to say, I don't know. I don't want to guess.
Okay. Well, if you could just follow up with our office with that question, I'd appreciate it. Questions from committee members?
Just one.
Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question for you. I thought it was a fascinating statement you said there about one family could swing an election either way. And I just wanted to comment on that because I think that's the way our system was designed to work, is that one person could swing an election. And we certainly want more people to vote, and I think that's a good thought. But I would just think it's curious that we don't want to necessarily be creating policy simply because a few people might swing an election. So just, and I'm sure that's not what she meant, but for the record, I think that's an important thing. That is the way our republic is supposed to work. So thanks, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Seeing no further questions from committee members, do we have from our testifiers any questions for the bill sponsor? We're going to set this bill aside and let it germinate. Senator Machicki.
Yeah, I have more to learn. We have larger road service areas. It sounds like you almost have neighborhood road service areas. So it sounds like it may be a Fairbanks issue. I mean, it's always a problem getting people to apply for being elected to a road service area board, or any of the other service area boards, frankly, in our district as well. But I just have a little bit more to learn. I'll probably have some questions for you offline.
Seeing no further questions, committee members, final wrap-up?
Mr. Chairman, I think we've covered it pretty good.
All right, we're going to set 218 aside for further consideration. That'll conclude today's meeting, and there's no meeting scheduled for Thursday. Thanks, everyone, for their participation today, and we're gaveling out at 4:04.